Hi, everyone. I'm really excited to be here today. And, you know, last weekend of November, we're a week away from Bayside Carols, and I've had a bit of a sneak peek at some of the stuff that you guys are going to see next week, and you're in for an absolute treat. There may be some special Christmas jackets, some discussion about best Christmas movies, but the main attraction, Christmas message from Pastor Rob, a really special dance item, and plenty of carols that people of all ages can sing along to wherever you're watching from. So make sure you tune in Saturday night, 6 p.m, Sunday, 10 a.m, as usual, for Bayside Carols next weekend. And, you know, if you're feeling up for a trip or if you're in the Melbourne area, at 6 p.m. Here in Cheltenham, we'll have an in-person carols where you'll see a lot of the same sort of stuff that you'll see online, but there is a big Christmas fair before that from 4 p.m. So if you're around, come to that. Otherwise, tune in and enjoy our special Bayside Carols next week, which obviously means that we're a month away from Christmas. So, you know, you can stop and take a breath. Maybe just do that now. You will get through this time. I know it's a bit chaotic, but it is a special time. You know, you get to see family, friends, and it's a time of generosity where we get to reflect on a baby born in a manger and what he came to achieve on earth for all of us. So it's good to put that perspective in at this crazy time of year. Now, I don't know about you, but I've loved the teaching series that Pastor Rob has taught this year, the Jesus Way series. He finished that up a couple of weeks ago, and I really want to encourage you to go back and watch that. You can go to the Bayside Church website and find teaching series, and then look for the Jesus Way series, or there'll be a link in the chat for you to hold on to and reflect back on that series. And I mentioned that series intentionally because I'm going to mention a little bit more about that later on in my message today. Now, before I get into it, and I will be looking at a passage of scripture from Luke chapter 5, I just want to fill you in on how I came to this place of preaching this message today, and a little bit that's been going on in my family. So the last 3 or 4 weeks have been quite emotionally heavy for me. I'm really close to my grandparents, and both of them have had some pretty significant health challenges over the last couple of weeks. My nan was rushed to hospital at the end of October with what they thought was a stroke. Turns out it wasn't, praise God. But there are some challenges that she still has around that. And the day after she came back from hospital, my grandpa had a fall, fractured his pelvis, and then as part of the checking up on his progress, they found that he had a perforated bowel and so had emergency surgery. I'm really close to my grandparents. I talk to them pretty much every day. You know, they've been my biggest source of encouragement my entire life. I mean, my wife probably takes that place now, but for my entire life, my grandparents have been there and they've encouraged me to do all the things that I want to do. And so I'm incredibly grateful for that. But it's been really tough seeing them in the state that they've been. I've made a few trips to Geelong to visit them in hospital, see how they're doing. But it has weighed on me emotionally, and there's been a few points where I've had things on at work and I've chosen work over going to see them, and I've felt really convicted. But then I've recognised that part of life is when you're following Jesus that you actually surrender to him. You surrender to the call, you surrender to the things that he prompts you on, and for me, I know I'm called to do what I do. And there were a few moments where sitting with God, it was like, no, you'll get your chance. Just stay. Stay, push through. you know, you've got this event on, this event on, the team need you, your wife needs you, don't rush down. It was really hard to listen to that. But why am I sharing my life story? Well, there's a phrase in Luke chapter 5 that really resonates with me. And it's Peter saying to Jesus, "But because you say so, I will." And that's the title of my message today. But because you say so, I will. And so for me, in that need of spending time in the presence of God, in letting Him speak to me in this time of emotional chaos, I suppose you could call it, having my birthday through that period and not getting to see my family because of that. You know, it's been quite trying, but spending that time in the presence of God and God saying, okay, I need you to do this. You've got to be strong. You'll get your chance to see them, which I have had and I am grateful for. And it's almost that attitude of, okay, God, because you say so, I will. And so I want to unpack that today. I want to look at trusting God and being obedient to His call. So let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your faithfulness to each and every one of us. And I pray right now that you would bring peace in the midst of chaos, that you would bring encouragement to all of us, and that we would know, regardless of what is going on in our world, that you are present with us, that you are wrapping your arms around us in love. I pray that you would speak through me today and that we would all be encouraged and hopefully get to a place of being able to say, okay, God, because you say so, I will. Amen. So recently, I've been unpacking Luke's gospel with my Connect group. And as we've been reading through, you know, a chapter at a time, there's been a number of things that have really excited me in my spirit. And one of these passages is our focus today from Luke chapter 5. And in this, we read of fishermen who have just finished up and have exited their boat. There's a crowd of people following Jesus. And then they have this interaction with Jesus. And the response from Simon Peter is one that is deeply profound to me. So we're going to pick it up at verse 1 of Luke chapter 5. As the crowd was pressing in on Jesus to hear God's word, he was standing by Lake Gennesaret. He saw two boats at the edge of the lake. The fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, which belonged to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the land. Then he sat down and was teaching the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let your nets down for a catch." "Master," Simon replied, "we've worked hard all night long and caught nothing. But if you say so, I'll let down the nets." And in the NIV, it says, "But because you say so, I will let down my nets." When they did this, they caught a great number of fish and their nets began to tear. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. They came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, because I'm a sinful man, Lord." For he and all those with him were amazed at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, Zebedee's sons, who were Simon's partners. "Don't be afraid," Jesus told Simon. "From now on, you will be catching people." Then they brought the boats to land, left everything, and followed him. It's a pretty remarkable story when you think about it. Not remarkable in terms of Jesus and the way that he interacts with people. Like he is very much a people person. He speaks life and value to people. But it's Peter's response, which is the really interesting thing in this. Here's a guy that, you know, he may have heard of, hasn't really seen much of, comes up to him after he's been out fishing. And this, remember, this is Simon Peter's trade. Jesus goes, okay, kick your boat off. I'm coming with you. And then he goes, you know, let your net down. And Peter's like, we've been out fishing all night. Like, what are you talking about? And so, you know, he'd be forgiven for going, this guy's got no idea. Like, who is he to tell me to do that? But instead of that, he's got this sense that this guy is someone pretty important. And he goes, but because you say so, I will. I wonder how you would go in that situation. Now, I put my hand up and say I'm not spectacular at responding when I'm told what to do. I never really have been. I'm quite independent and stubborn, and they're family traits. But I try to listen and consider and do all the things that we should do, but I'm still not great at being told what to do. So I put myself in the shoes of Simon Peter here and his compatriots being told, oh, you know, kick off, drop your net down. I don't know if my first reaction would be, Master, but because you say so, I will. How would you react or respond in that situation? You know, think about it. You're not knowing someone, and then they, who aren't an expert in your profession, suggest you should do something different, something a little unconventional, something even, not exactly in this instance, but something that we may be encouraged to do, something a little bit outside of our comfort zone. Not to mention that you're exhausted, you've been in the boat and on that body of water overnight, and here comes a stranger encouraging you to go back out on the water, let their net down. Is this person a bit crazy? Like, what sort of a request is that? Consider the request. And when you do, I think that that's what makes Simon Peter's response so profound. You know, it's easy to say to someone to do something differently, to approach it in a different way. It's easy to push a personal agenda as to why someone should do something. And sometimes the suggestion will be wrong. So discernment is really important. However, to hear the words, consider the person in front of you, to trust them, and then to act, especially when the physical reality screams that it's not right, that takes courage. That takes courage, it takes boldness, it takes a willingness to actually be impacted by the Spirit in us and by the people around us. So what does it take to be open to the sometimes unusual, unconventional, maybe a little crazy prompts from God? I think that there's a few elements to this. I look at trust and surrender sort of under the one umbrella, and obedience as well. And I think that these are things that we need to learn in general in life, but especially as Christians. You know, we recognize that Jesus has laid down his life for each one of us. And if we are to follow in his footsteps, often that means laying down our interests, our plans, our comfort to do what he has called us to do. And I have trust and surrender together for a reason. I look at them and see that they kind of go hand in hand. If you trust someone, if you completely trust them and they encourage you to do something that might be different to what you want to do, you are more willing to actually surrender your desires or your plan to this person. And so how do we actually trust in God enough to be willing to surrender our comfort, our security, our plan, our desires? How do we get comfortable enough to trust him? I'm going to touch on that in a minute. I think it starts with finding our identity, recognizing that we are all made in the image of God. Each and every person on this earth is made in the image of God. Not only that, we are children of God. He has chosen us. He values us. His word says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And so understanding our identity is a starting point. And from there, we outwork our purpose. We look at Jesus and things that he came to do. He came to clothe the homeless, to feed them, to care for the widows and the orphans. He came to restore broken hearts. He came to bring healing to people. He came to bring love and life and to speak that into people. And so our purpose is to do those things, is to love God with all that we are and to love our neighbor as ourselves. But I think that part of this journey of discovering our identity, outworking our purpose, is recognizing that there are times that we aren't in control, and so surrendering is required. And that surrender can sometimes be obedience, but often being obedient requires an action on our behalf. To be willing to surrender to God and to be obedient to his call, the key thing is to know God and to know his heart. And so we look at who God is. Reading this, like grabbing a Bible and actually reading the stories, learning more about him, understanding who he is, who he says that we are, how he interacts with his children, goes a long way to being able to trust him, to surrender to him, and to be obedient to his call, because we know that he loves us. We know that he works all things for the good of those who love him according to his purpose. And his purpose is always going to be better than the purpose or the plan that we may have for ourselves, church. And so it's important for us to actually spend time in the word, seeing that he is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. He is Jehovah Rapha, our healer. He is the God Almighty, El Shaddai. He created us in his image. He created us for community with each other and with him. But then you read in scripture that he says, do not be afraid, be strong and courageous, for I am with you wherever you may go. He calls us his special possession. We know that he sent Jesus to us because of his great love for each and every one of us. And so we see through scripture, through spending time in prayer, through time in his presence, who he is and why we can trust him. And so therefore why actually surrendering to him, trusting him, and then being willing to be obedient, even if it is the most outrageous request that he could make. It's why we can trust him, and it's why we can have confidence in doing that. And I think that there's something that obviously spoke to Simon Peter that made him go, you know what, this is someone I can follow. This is someone I'm going to listen to. Think about the people in your life that you trust. Why do you trust them? Often there's things like they've shown loyalty to you, repeatedly. You know that they have your back, they stand up for you, they provide a judgment-free space for you to just be you. You know their intention is for your good. And there is a saying that your name is safe in their mouth, that when they say your name, you know that they are protective of you. And so these are the things that we can look at with God and know that he is faithful, church. He will never, ever let us down. Our God is faithful. He loves us. He does not judge us. He forgives us. And he calls us to partner with him in bringing light and life and transformation to the world around us. Amen. Hallelujah. How good is that? So he is a good God who can be trusted. But until we have allowed ourselves the opportunity to meet and experience God, we cannot know enough about him to trust him fully, short of what people tell us. So for each and every one of us, it is absolutely imperative that we take the time, make the effort to get to know God, to get to know his Son, and to allow the Holy Spirit in us to prompt us, to move us, to empower us to act. You may hear that he is trustworthy, church, but you know he is trustworthy when you experience it for yourself. And so we can grow that trust by spending time in the Word, spending time with his people, in prayer, in positioning ourselves in his presence, and in stepping out in obedience to his call, because he will go with us when he calls us. I think about a story in the gospel, and I'm a little off track here, but there's a story where Jesus calls out to Peter later on in the gospels, and Peter's in a boat and he starts walking on water towards Jesus. He's totally fixed on him. He knows who Jesus is. He knows that he is trustworthy and he is good. And then Peter starts looking around and he sees the water and he freaks out. And then he starts to sink and he needs help. When we step out in obedience, being able to trust that God is with us is really important. And it's also important to be obedient to his call. Like if we trust him, if we love him, if we are surrendered to him, why would we resist the call that he has for us? And now I understand better than most the fear of the unknown, the fear of rejection or potential embarrassment, the uncomfortableness of doing something that's a little bit outside of our bubble. But if we can trust God and if we know that he is faithful, that he is trustworthy, that he is with us, then what is it that holds us back from being obedient to his call? And that's why I think this phrase, "but because you say so, I will," is so important. I wonder if you've seen the movie The Princess Bride. It's an all-time classic. Now, you may be familiar with some of the catchphrases of, "My name is Inigo Montoya, you killed my father, prepare to die." Or maybe it's, "Inconceivable." Or maybe it's the wedding scene. The priest is up there and he goes, "Marriage, such a blessed arrangement." I think that's how it sounds anyway. But one of the more impressive phrases, and we see this repeatedly throughout the story. I'm not going to spoil too much about the characters or anything like that. But one of the characters regularly surrenders his will to the woman he loves by saying, "as you wish." It may be uncomfortable for him. It may be dangerous for him. "As you wish." And I see this a little bit the same as the opportunity that we have with God. If he is someone that we love and respect and we want to give our all to, "but because you say so, I will, God. I trust you." And this attitude, like our scripture, is one of trust to a person and a willingness to follow their command. Now, I'm not talking about when older siblings, and I am the older sibling in my family, I've got two younger siblings. My sister's in the middle, and then the youngest is my little brother. And I'm probably guilty of many times as a kid going, "oh, you know, Mum and Dad said we could do this, so why don't you go and do it?" Or, you know, "go and steal the bickies from the cupboard. Go and do this or go and do that." And they would blindly trust me because I was their older brother. They didn't learn that when they get in trouble, it was me telling them to do something I knew they shouldn't do. And I have repented of that. And if my siblings are watching, sorry, guys. I realise I used to do that. And then you get workplace managers who might tell you to do something that you know is unethical or goes against values. Maybe it's your teachers are being you know, they're not allowing you to express yourself, or they're very rigid. Now, these are all people, like workplace managers and teachers, you should listen to and you should respect. I'm not saying ignore them completely. But I think that there are times when people in our world will let us down. The one thing we know about God is that He is faithful and that He will never let us down, church. That is why when He speaks, we can trust Him, we can surrender to Him, and we can be obedient enough to say, but because you say so, I will. And I know it can be hard to let go of the mistrust that we have for other people, the jadedness or the bitterness, the unforgiveness of people who have let us down. But we need to get to a place as individuals, as a church, as the body of Christ, where we can say, you know what? Yes, this has happened from people who have done the wrong thing, but my God is good, He is faithful, and I will trust in Him no matter what. I'm not perfect at that, but I'm trying to make a concerted effort to do that because I know that He is good. And if you're like me, the initial internal response can be rebellion, can be to push back against a request. And most of the time in my past, it hasn't got me very far. I might have the energy, I might have good ideas, but inevitably without God, at the very least, and sometimes even without others, I cannot achieve the God-given dreams without that complete trust and obedience to God. And Jesus modeled this obedience as well on the night before His death. He spent time in communion with His Heavenly Father in prayer. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus brought His disciples, and we know the story about how they fall asleep on Him. But He goes off on His own to pray. And He asks His Father to take the cup, the weight, the expectation of what He was on earth to do, that call to die for the sins of the world. He asks His Father to take that cup from Him. But then He says this, "Not my will, but yours be done." Jesus laid down His life in obedience because He knew and trusted His Heavenly Father. And Pastor Rob has been teaching across this year about Jesus' way. Well, when it comes to trusting God, surrendering to His will, and being obedient to God's call, Jesus models that. That is also Jesus' way. And this same story is reflected in John chapter 21. And this is after His resurrection. His disciples are out fishing. And you can read it in John 21 verses 3 to 7. But particularly verse 6 is where I want to sit at, that Jesus is there. They don't recognize Him. They just think it's some dude on the shore. They've been out fishing. And He's like, "Oh, have you caught anything?" And they're like, "No." He's like, "Why don't you try throwing your net down on the other side?" Again, this request of experienced fishermen to do something that they've probably already tried. But they do it. They may not say, "But because you say so, I will." But it is that attitude of doing that. And as soon as the nets are basically bursting with the amount of fish, they know straight away, this is Jesus. This is our resurrected Saviour. And they basically are just rowing their boats in really quickly. I think even Peter may jump out of the boat, hike up his cloak and what he's wearing and run to shore because they are excited to see Him. And I share this because we see that willingness to trust. We see the celebration and we see that God is faithful. And God is faithful through Jesus because, and I'm not going to do a big theology lesson on that, you know, you've got God the Father, God the Son being Jesus, God the Holy Spirit, how they're three separate persons but one divine being. I'm not going to go into all the theology of that, but we understand that Jesus is God and He is standing in the fullness of His glory in this story in John 21. So we see the faithfulness of God through His Son. And, you know, sometimes surrender and obedience is a willingness to look at a situation differently. And we see that in John 21, we see that in Luke chapter 5, and we see that in countless times in Scripture, but also in our own lives. You know, through 2020 and 2021, COVID lockdowns here in Melbourne, one of the most locked down cities in the world. For an extrovert, that's tough. And I don't want to live in the past because I'm big on looking to the future and what's to come. But one of the things I had to do was shift my perspective. Rather than being stuck in the limitations of what was in front of us, but seeing opportunity. Opportunity to spend time with God, you know, to work on a few little projects that I'm working on, you know, putting together a series of devotions around faith and the importance of faith in our life, which I'm working on, and I was able to start during that time. You know, I've been, the day of filming, I actually received confirmation that I finished my bachelor's degree. And if it wasn't for COVID and being able to spend all this time studying and see that as an opportunity rather than a limitation, I wouldn't be here today having finished that. So I'm really excited about that. But perspective plays a big part. Sometimes God will call us to do something that might be off the track to what we are thinking. Question is, do we trust him? Do we trust him enough to do something a little bit different? I've had 3 or 4 landmark moments in my life where that has happened, and I've debated, I've wrestled with it, and I've probably reluctantly dragged my feet in doing it, but every time God has delivered, because that is who he is, church. And so today is a new day. Tomorrow is a new day. And the day after is a new day. Each day is an opportunity for us to position ourselves to receive, to allow God to speak, and then to listen, and then to act. But it brings me to a question that I have for you today. And think about this in light of trusting God, surrendering to his plan for us, and being obedient to his call. What do you need to let go of today to first trust God and then to be obedient to his call? I'll say that again. What do you need to let go of today to first trust God and then to be obedient to his call? To what do you need to answer, but because you say so, I will? Maybe it's about a job. Maybe stepping out to talk about Jesus to someone. Maybe it's forgiving someone or forgiving yourself. Maybe it's that point of finally accepting the offer of eternal life that Jesus has made to you by recognizing him as Lord and Savior in repentance. It could be anything. And so wherever you are right now, whether it's to grab your phone and make a note, or if it's to grab a notebook and a pen, or maybe even just a scrap piece of paper, I want you to do that. I'm going to give you a moment to collect whatever it is you need to write some stuff down. Or maybe you can just watch it back. In line of that question, what do you need to let go of today to first trust God and then to be obedient to his call? I want you to write down whatever it is that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. What do you need to let go of in order to trust God and then to be obedient to his call? And maybe even write down what is it that God is asking you to do that might be outside of your comfort zone, might bring about a dramatic change, might be really tough and hard for you to do. Then, in big letters, I want you to write, but because you say so, I will. Heck, even type that up during the week, print it off, stick it up somewhere in your house. You know, think about what dreams has God given you. Write down, but because you say so, I will. Let's be a church that commits to today. So we come to the end of a year and we're ready to launch into a new year. Let's have an attitude of, I trust in you, God. I'm going to surrender to you and I am going to be obedient to your call because I'm going to take the posture of, but because you say so, I will. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your goodness. And we thank you for your continued faithfulness to your people. We thank you that you are faithful to us through the storm, through the valleys, through the highs, through the lows. Through every season, you are faithful. And I pray right now for everyone who's watching along and for myself and for Ethan here who's spending his time filming this message. I pray that for all of us, I pray that we would be willing to let you in, to trust you completely, or to make the time to get to know you so that we can trust you completely. So that when you knock, when you call, we are ready to answer whatever it is that you are asking of us and have that attitude of, but because you say so, I will. I pray you'd bring things to mind for us to work on, things that we can do to step out or things that we can do to develop that trust and relationship with you, Lord. And I pray that you would be with us, that you would bring peace, stability, strength, healing, provision, whatever it is that people need as they watch this or they listen to the podcast, Lord. Meet us where we're at. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Well, God bless you, church. I hope you've been encouraged and can find some opportunities now in the coming days and weeks and months to be able to say, but because you say so, I will, to our Heavenly Father. God bless.